Ephesians in chapter 4. And let's read just the two last verses in the chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." What I'd like to talk with you about this morning is the dignity of forgiveness. Paul here in this passage tells us that we have a tendency, or at least a possible tendency, towards some very negative things. He lists them there in verse 31. He talks about bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. And all of those things come from a dark place in our heart that we inherited from our first father, and that we foster if we allow ourselves to, that sin nature that's within us. And these things in particular that Paul lists in this 31st verse have to do with things that fester. And things that eat away. Paul talks about some things that just act like a cancer, that eat away at us inside: bitterness and wrath and anger. And then that comes out in clamor and evil speaking. And then there's that malice, that thinking in our heart to do evil to someone. Planning to see hurt come on someone. Now, all of those things there in verse 31 tend to be the product of our having been offended. Someone has hurt us. Someone has offended us. Someone has insulted, taken from us. So we begin to think about that, and we get bitter and anger and all of those things. So then Paul's solution, he follows with there in verse 32, "And be ye," put away all of that stuff in verse 31, "and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So rather than being bitter and angry and full of malice and hate, we're called to forgive one another. We all know that. It's a good Christian thing to do. But Paul says that we're to not just forgive one another, but we're to forgive one another even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, if we're going to forgive one another even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us, we're going to need a few things. Okay, so now the first thing you're going to need, if you want to forgive others the way that God has forgiven you, the first thing you need is you need to be forgiven by God. Right? Amen? You can't forgive others the way God has forgiven you if God hasn't forgiven you. So come over just a few pages to your right to Colossians chapter 1. And let's talk about that for just a moment. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read verse 13 and 14. Colossians 1 verse 13, talking about God, of course, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Amen. Amen. So, let me tell you about God's forgiveness, in case you don't know. The forgiveness of God comes to you, is available to you and to me, one way, and one way only. But if you will come God's way, then that forgiveness doesn't flow haltingly. It doesn't flow slowly. It doesn't trickle. That forgiveness will flood your life. And how do we get that forgiveness from God? Through the redemption, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, went to the cross. When He saw your condition and mine as sinful creatures, unable to help ourselves, unable to do anything good enough to please God, because the wages of sin is death, He went to the cross and He died to pay your penalty. So that forgiveness can now be had for you from God. God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed, of every sin you ever will commit. Complete, total forgiveness, past, present, and future, in a moment. If you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ that He went to that cross and He died. He died to pay the penalty for your sin, because the penalty is death. So, in the end, there are two ways to get your sins paid for. You can pay for them yourself by dying spiritually, eternally, in the lake of fire forever. You can pay for your sins that way. Or you can get forgiveness. You can recognize and acknowledge and receive and rejoice in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ already died on your behalf. And you don't have to. You don't have to die that eternal death. So now we have forgiveness from God. So now we can at least, after we're done rejoicing in that for for as long as that takes, we can start thinking about forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Now, the second thing we need after forgiveness from God, in order to do that, is we need to know what God's forgiveness is. Because if we're going to forgive one another the way God has forgiven us, we need to understand something about what forgiveness is, if we're going to do it. And we need to understand something about what God says it is, if we're going to do it like God. So you want to see here in this verse again, Colossians 1 verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now you have something of a definition there for forgiveness, don't you? It's called redemption. We have redemption. What does that mean? Even forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins. Now, you know what redemption is. If you ever clipped a coupon out of the newspaper and it says this coupon is redeemable until such and such a date, or you can redeem this coupon for 50 cents off on cornflakes or whatever it is. When you redeem something, you're paying a price. You're buying it. Well, there is redemption in Christ Jesus, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, what that means is that for forgiveness to be necessary, there's a debt involved, isn't there? Something needs to be paid. Come back with me to... come all the way back to Romans chapter, all the way back to Romans 1, a few pages back to Romans chapter 1, and let's take a look at this. If we understand what an offense is, it'll help us to understand what forgiveness is. And if we understand what an offense does, it'll help us to better understand how we can forgive the way that God forgives. Now, that verse we just looked at in Colossians says that there is redemption in Christ Jesus. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ, in by His blood, paid a price. Paid off a debt. And that's forgiveness. Romans chapter 1, Paul talks a little bit about that. He says in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Now, that's not forgiveness, is it? That's the other side, right? Now, why is the wrath of God revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So man knows from the things that he can see around him that there's a God, that He is sovereign, and that He is the authority, that I'm going to answer to this God one day. We know those things by creation and by the conscience that God has put in us. Every man does. They are without excuse. Now watch, verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Now, the reason that Paul gives here for why the wrath of God is revealed against these things is because that when they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God. And they weren't thankful. Now, what that means is that God is worthy of glorification. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy. He has that eternal dignity and honor within Himself that they would not acknowledge. That was the offense. They wouldn't glorify God as He was worthy to be gloried. Brother Mark read the verse in Revelation, that He is worthy to be praised, and all things are created for His pleasure. And they didn't acknowledge that worth, that dignity. So what happened? "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools," verse 23, "and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Now you want to see what God's response was to their dishonoring Him. He gave them up to their own lust to dishonor themselves. And Paul goes on to say that this was, they received in themselves, at the end of verse 27, the recompense of their error, which was meat. Now he's talking specifically in this passage about homosexuality. And he sees it and describes it in this passage as a punishment, the thing itself. That God gave them up to their own lusts. Why? Because they dishonored God. They wouldn't glorify God. They wouldn't acknowledge the dignity of God. So God gave them over to their own indignity, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And that's what Paul's talking about when he says it's the recompense of their error, which is meat. The punishment fits the crime. Now, I'm not preaching to you about homosexuality here today, but what I want you to see is that the issue is honor and dignity that they would not give to God. You say, what does that have to do with me? You'll see in a moment. So God gave them up to the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25. who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So their second offense, the first is they wouldn't acknowledge God's dignity. And by the way, in that context and in that verse 21 there, they weren't thankful either. And you know what that is when you're not thankful? You're a thief. Somebody has something. You come along. You know, I watch these survival shows. Not Survivor and the reality stuff. I don't. but these survival shows. You ever watch these guys that go out in the middle of nowhere and build houses out of trees and kill stuff and eat it and whatnot? And I like to watch that kind of stuff. But there's one guy on there who he goes and he hunts. I saw him the other day. He killed an alligator or something he was going to eat. And the thing's laying there. It's in the water, first of all. And he gets in the water and the thing tries to get away. And it's snapping at him and he's grabbing it and he's pulling it by the tail and it's fighting like crazy. He finally gets it on the land, puts a knife in it, and I'll save you the gory details. But the thing, I mean, he killed it against its will. And then it's laying there dead. And he looks at it and he goes, you know, I'm really sorry and thank you for your food, he says to the alligator. Now, it seems to me that if you're going to say thank you to someone, it's probably not when they're kicking and screaming for their lives, trying not to give you what you're trying to take from them. You're going to take it from them and say thank you. Well, that alligator didn't give him his food. He took the food. See, they take from God, but they're not thankful. Well, what they're doing then is they're robbing God. I'm going to take this. It's mine. Lord says, well, it's here. I'll give it to you. No, it's mine, and I'm not going to acknowledge that you gave it to me. So they dishonor him. They rob him. Verse 25, again, they refuse to worship him, and they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. So rather than turning to the Lord and saying, thank you, God, for this food, I'm going to thank the alligator. But what they're doing here is they're being unfaithful. There's a relationship between a creator and a creature of worship and adoration. And that's an issue of faithfulness. Like a husband and a wife, faithfulness. You know, bound together to each other in, you know, mutual love and respect and adoration and all of that. Well, they went off and did what they did. God calls it all sorts of different things. Go out and whoring after other gods and so forth. They were unfaithful. They broke a trust. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up, second time, unto vile affection. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. That's the third time. To a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And there, the third thing in verse 28 is they disrespect God. They don't like to retain Him in their mind. You know what respect means, right? Respect, my spectacles, means to look at. To respect means to look at twice. They didn't consider God worth a second look. No respect. So they dishonor him, they rob from him, they're unfaithful to him, they disrespect him. Can I ask you, is there any offense that has ever been committed against you that does not fall into one of those categories? They robbed from him, they disrespected him. They would not see what all of this comes down to, unfaithfulness. I have trust in someone and I'm betrayed. I allow my stuff to be vulnerable and someone comes in and takes advantage of it. Someone disrespects me someone disrespects you, doesn't count you worthy of a second thought. You know what offense comes down to is a violation of your dignity. Any offense that you suffer is ultimately a violation of your dignity. Now we need to understand that if we're going to understand how we're going to forgive offenses. See, that's what all these things are. They're violations of the dignity of God. Now, your dignity and mine. You know, we read that verse this morning in Leviticus chapter 6, that passage there. And that passage was about someone who robbed someone. Came and took away his stuff, whether violently or the guy lost it and the other guy found it and didn't say anything. However he did it, he stole something from him. He sinned against that person. But the passage says that he trespassed against the Lord. And in the remedy that we read, the guy was to take the stuff that he stole, add a fifth part more to it, and restore the stuff to the guy he stole it from. But then he needed to bring a trespass offering to the Lord. Then he would be forgiven. Now, what does that mean? That means when the guy stole the other guy's stuff, he didn't just offend him. He offended God. Why? Because he would not recognize his neighbor's dignity, and his neighbor's dignity comes from God. God has given you the dignity of being created in His image. And when someone slights you, or someone takes from you, someone wrongs you, someone hurts you, someone offends you, someone betrays you, in any way that you find yourself in a position of needing to show forgiveness, it's an issue of dignity. They've taken something from you, and you want it back. So, what we do then is we start to think about revenge. Because if offense is the violation of my dignity, revenge is the restoration of my dignity. I'm getting it back. Now, can I say to you that your dignity and mine are not something that we can give away and take and give away and take and throw over here and take over here? This is something that comes to us from God. It's His dignity that He has bestowed upon us as human beings created in His image. Now, I'll tell you what. I want to get a couple of verses here, just in chapter 12. Let's do this. Look over in chapter 12, Romans. Now, why am I saying all this? I told you at the start that we were going to talk about the dignity of forgiveness. And there is a tendency when we're offended and we begin to think about revenge, that is, we have bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, those things that Paul talked about. There's a sense within us that our dignity actually was taken away. That someone has actually robbed you of your dignity. And the fact of the matter is that no one can rob you of your dignity. Now, what that means is it means two things. Number one, it means that the offense was real. When you think about forgiveness, and if you're going to forgive, if I'm going to forgive the way God forgives me, that's not about saying, well, the thing really wasn't that bad. what they did, you know, I'm going to have to get over this thing. So the first thing I have to do is kind of belittle the offense and say, you know what, it really wasn't that bad. Listen, don't be so prideful as to think when someone offends you that it's not that bad. Because when they offend you, they're not just offending you, they're offending God. Do you understand that? See, I thought we were talking about forgiveness. You're sounding like you're getting angry at the guy to me. Well, here's the thing. We want to understand the offense. If you don't understand the offense, you will never understand how to forgive it. So what we do, especially, you know, get off into the whole psychology thing, and we're offended as very young people, abusive parents, absent parents, bully siblings, classmates, whatever it is, we're offended through our childhood, and we grow up with this idea stuck in the back of our mind somewhere that we must deserve to be offended. And the fact of the matter is that you're a human being and you don't deserve to be offended. Because you've got a dignity that comes from God. So that's the first thing it means. It means that your dignity is real. It's not imagined. Offenses against you are true offenses. The second thing that it means that our dignity comes from God is that we can't restore it. There's nothing I can do. When I'm offended, revenge does not restore my dignity. Because my dignity was not mine to give away or to go and get. Only God can restore in that person's mind, in my mind, in the mind of the world, can tell the world that this person is a person of dignity. Only God can set that straight. So knowing that an offense is the violation of my dignity, and that my dignity comes from God, tells me those two things. Number one, it tells me that I did not. That was not right for them to do what they did. It was not right for them to do to you what they did to you. It wasn't right. Because you've got dignity that comes from God and they violated that. And number two, it tells me that God can bring the restoration that's needed, and only God can bring the restoration that's needed. Now, what that means is that revenge, on my part, see where that desire for revenge is coming from? Is because you think you actually lost something. Maybe they're right. Maybe I deserve that kind of behavior. Maybe it wasn't in my childhood. Maybe it was somebody at work. Maybe it was somebody here. Maybe, you know, somebody in my life slighted me, took from me, disrespected me, whatever they did to offend me. Well, maybe I deserve to be treated that way. Well, you know, knock that pride off. Low self-esteem, whatever you want to call it, it's all pride. It's pride. You know where your dignity comes from. It comes from God. If it came from you, then it could ebb and flow, and we could worry about whether you have it or not. But the fact of the matter is that you are who you are, and you have the dignity that you do because you come from the hand of God. It's His, not mine, not yours. So Paul tells us here, Romans chapter 12, he says in verse 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Romans 12:17. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So we're not to avenge ourselves. And notice, he calls it evil. Verse 17. So I've been offended. I'm going to go and even the score. I'm going to go and get my dignity back. I'm going to make him or her acknowledge who I am and who they just robbed from, slighted, disrespected, whatever it is that they did. Something in the back of my sinful mind, my flesh, is telling me that that's making things even. God says it's evil. You're returning evil for evil. You say, well, all I'm doing is evening the score. But you can't even the score. You can try to even the score, but you can't do it. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather, now look at what Paul says here. Give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, I thought we were talking about forgiveness. That verse says, don't avenge yourself. Give place for God to do it. For God to avenge you. You see, we get this idea about forgiveness, and I know this is, you know, these verses may not always come up in a message on forgiveness that you've heard, but we need to look at these. We have this idea about forgiveness that the score is really never evened. But the fact of the matter is, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will also reap. And when one of God's creatures is offended, he's going to make that right. It's not for us to do. Now look what Paul goes on to say. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire at his head. Well, now we're really not forgiving anybody, are we? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, now we're heaping coals of fire on the guy's head, and that's good. The other thing, that was evil. We're still talking about forgiveness. I want you to see that verse, these verses, you know that they're there, but I'd like us to see them in the context of forgiveness and of the dignity of forgiveness. What I'm trying to get across to you is that offenses are real and forgiveness is never going to come by denying that fact. Offenses are real and forgiveness is never going to come by owning my own dignity and not recognizing that my dignity comes from God. Offenses are real. So we need to get that. We need to understand that. We need to acknowledge that. And that as a creature of God, you have a dignity that has been offended. That's why we call wrongdoing wrongdoing, because it was wrong. All right. Have I spent enough time telling you that the offense was real? Come with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We need to get that. See, the rest of it is easy. Somebody cuts me off. I'm driving down the highway. Somebody cuts in front of me. I get mad, right? What do I want to do? I want to punch on the gas and go and chase them, cut them off, right? No, I never do that. Why? Why? Well, because they treated me like I wasn't there. They disrespected me. Your spouse goes out and cheats on you. Well, what's that anger all about? It's because she took your dignity. I say she because I'm a guy. The other way around, same thing. Same way that they worshiped the creature instead of the Creator. They were unfaithful. You have a relationship with someone, friend or spouse or whoever it is, and you put your trust in them. And they betray that trust. Well, that's just a deeper violation of your dignity. That's what hurts. That's where the anger is coming from. That's where the bitterness is coming from. So I don't need to struggle within myself and say, "Wow, did I really deserve that, or didn't I? Was that wrong, or was it not wrong? Maybe I should understand where they were coming from." And listen, a sin is a sin. Don't whitewash it. Acknowledge your own dignity, that it comes from God, and that an offense has occurred. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Verse talking about the persecutions and tribulations that the Thessalonians are enduring, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You see that? Someone's troubling you, and it is a righteous thing for God to recompense tribulation to them. Now, what that means is, he's talking about the tribulation, as he's, you know, after Christ comes, there are those that receive not the love of the truth, and so forth. But the thing is that a true violation has occurred here, and for God to take vengeance on them is a righteous thing. And to you who are troubled, verse 7, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all of these passages that we're looking at here talk about the score being settled. So when you think about going out and taking revenge on someone, recognize that the violation, that while it was against you, it was against that essential dignity of yours that comes and only comes from God. And that ultimately, the offense, if they took something from you, then they can restore the something, but they can't restore the violation of dignity with you. That's between them and God. So here's where forgiveness comes in. We are to forgive one another, we started out in Ephesians chapter 5, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Now, how has God for Christ's sake forgiven us? Well, the apostles asked the Lord, said, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother?" Right? 70 times? Lord said, 70 times 7. Can I say to you that 70 times 7, take it literally, figuratively, any other way, is not the way we forgive under grace? What that passage back in Leviticus said was that if you bring this gift, this offering for this transgression, then that transgression will be forgiven. The next time you commit a transgression, you bring another offering and you get forgiven again. And again, and again, and again, and again. 70 times 7, 7,000 times 700, it doesn't matter. It's again, and again, and again. God doesn't forgive you and me that way. He forgives us once. And then we forever live in a relationship with Him in a state of forgiveness. Don't we? So how many times am I to forgive my brother? Once. And for all. And offenses come. And as offenses come, they come from a person who is in a state of forgiveness with me. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, how do I do that? The offense is real. My dignity's been offended. Where do I go with that? Well, where did God go with it? He went to Calvary. Where is our redemption? Where is the payment of that debt? It's in the blood of Christ. So what do I do when I'm offended? When my God-given dignity is offended? What do I do with that offense? I do what God did with it. I put it on the cross. And I say the wrath of God was poured out upon that offense on my Lord as He hung there at Calvary. That thing is dealt with. That the offense and the dignity that offense violated, that payment was made. The hole was filled. It was done. It was all done at Calvary. Now, listen. That's good enough for God. Mom's here today, and my sister Maria over there. Me and Mom were talking yesterday about the pride of not forgiving yourself. And how we like to hold our court higher than God's court. And you know, it actually makes it easier under grace when you recognize if you have trouble forgiving yourself. I would call you this morning not to forgiveness, but to repentance. Because God says you're forgiven. So your court is the lower court. If your court has come back with a decision of guilty, appeal. Appeal the decision to the Supreme Court. God will overturn it. You find yourself guilty, appeal. God will overturn it. See what you're doing there? When I refuse to release myself, I'm doing what those folks in Romans chapter 1 did. I'm refusing to glorify God, not being thankful. I'm worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. I'm not retaining God in my knowledge. All the things that those guys did back there, that's what I'm doing. But we've been forgiven. So, if we're going to forgive one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us, you're going to have to take those offenses, knowing what you know about how God forgave you. You can take that offense and put it on the cross where it belongs. What you're doing now is you're acknowledging the true violation and putting it where it goes. The true violation, ultimately, is against God. And He's the one that needs to deal with it. And what that does is it releases me from the responsibility of restoring my own dignity that I can't do. That's why we go through life with bitterness and wrath and anger and malice, because you can never even the score. You can't do it. It can't be done. So the result is that all that stuff just eats at you. But you can take that and you can give that to the Lord by putting it on the cross, recognizing that that is a sin and that sin has been dealt with. Isn't that what God does with you? 1 Thessalonians, let's close up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see, if an offense is the violation of dignity, and if revenge is the attempt at restoration of dignity, forgiveness is the acknowledgement of dignity. People get the idea, if I forgive what they did, I'm just letting it go. I'm just saying it's okay to go ahead and trample me and treat me however you want. No, it's the exact opposite. Forgiveness is the acknowledgement of your dignity. Because you can pass over something, that's saying that you're not worth the trouble. You can pretend it didn't happen. You can stay mad. You can have all of these other these reactions. Only forgiveness acknowledges what truly happened, who it really happened to, and what the ultimate consequence of it is. Forgiveness acknowledges your dignity. Nothing else does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you say, okay, well, I'll put it on the cross. My brother offended me. I'll put it on the cross. That's fine. The Lord has forgiven him, and I'm going to forgive him too. But he hasn't apologized. Hasn't said he's sorry. Hasn't acknowledged his wrong. Didn't Jesus say if they repent, forgive them? Well, Paul doesn't say nothing about that, does he? So we've still got this disagreement here between us. Things on the cross, it's taken care of. The sin is, praise God for the forgiveness of sins. But listen, and again, these are verses that you don't always get in a message on forgiveness. God is interested in evening things up. God is a God of justice. Look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Now that verse is talking about two brothers. Brothers in the Lord. One cheats the other. The Lord is the avenger. You say, well, I thought all that stuff was on the cross. Well, the sin is on the cross. But there's still a right to be had. A right to be made. A wrong to be righted. The sin is taken care of. But there's still that issue of acknowledgement and of your dignity. You say, okay, good. So now I can go through life forgiving everybody because I know that in the end, either God's going to get them, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to get them at the judgment seat, or he's going to heap coals of fire on their head in hell. One way or the other, I'm getting even. Well, number one, let me say this to you. You're not getting even. God's justice is being had. So you know that it's being done right. But there's something else. See, because forgiveness is not about going through life, putting things to the side until, deferring my gratification for I'll see them in pain later. That's not what forgiveness is about. What we're seeing here in all these verses is that these interactions, when you hurt someone else, that's real. That's real. To the level of God, real. And when someone else hurts you, that's nothing to be brushed off. Now, knowing that, Paul, he was persecuted, chased, stoned, whipped, dragged through the mud, every other thing by his brethren, according to the flesh, the Jews. And he says, you know what? I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, because they won't believe. And they won't be saved. Paul says, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul's not looking forward with glee to coals of fire being heaped on their head. But he knows it's coming. So now his burden is to see them forgiven now. See? To see them forgiven. See, recognizing the truth and the reality of the offense doesn't lead away from forgiveness. It leads toward forgiveness. recognizing that our dignity is not our own, but it comes from God, doesn't slight you and me. It acknowledges our dignity. And understanding what's coming, that God is going to make to right every wrong, doesn't lead us to go through life rubbing our hands and we can't wait until we can see that person somehow punished. But it turns our heart toward them. Because I have my dignity now. Because I know where it comes from. The offense doesn't hurt anymore because I know where it's gone. And now, I have no bitterness, wrath, anger, malice toward that person. What I have now toward that person is it not just to make myself forgive them because I'm commanded to, but to long and desire for their forgiveness, aching in my heart. See, that's where it gets real. And that's where that's where the process of true forgiveness, understanding the violation, who is violated, and what God has done about it. It's not a whitewash. It's not brushing things under the rug. It doesn't leave me feeling violated. It doesn't leave me with low self-esteem and you know, bad self-image and all that other garbage. It leaves me confident and bold and loving and tender and forgiving. So, we're to forgive, you know, I guess the greatest thing you can do to forgive one another as God forgave you, forgive for real. God doesn't fake it. Understand what it is and glorify God for the ability that He's given you to forgive like He forgives. And that's the dignity of it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank and praise You, Father, that You have given us the power to do things, Lord, that no human being ever would, as they were pounding the nails, as they were hoisting our Lord up on that cross, not after years of putting it behind Him, but as the offense was happening, He turned to You and said, "Father, forgive them." And Father, I thank You that You've put Your Spirit, the Spirit of Your Son, within us, that we might respond in a higher dignity than anything we've ever known as we walk in Your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. We are dismissed per Mr. Thornton. I think it's still rolling. I hit the stop button twice.
Right.
I turned it off first. Maybe I should have done that.